You got your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse number 11. Can everybody hear me okay? Now, I like to be loud. Is that all right? Now, I'm just an old country preacher. I've been doing this a long time. I've been preaching since I was about 16 years old. God called me into the ministry. Been almost 20 years. That's a long time to be preaching, isn't it? But one day after a while, the old song says, it'll be worth it after all. I'm looking for that, aren't you? I'm looking for that day when the Bible describes that the clouds are going to roll back. The heavens are going to open up like a scroll, the Bible describes. And that man that I've been serving, that one that gave his life for me and for you, he's going to step out. The angel that the men of Galilee that saw him going away, they saw that ascension into heaven. The angels were standing there and they said, why are you looking into the heavens? This same Jesus that you see going away is coming back in like manner. That's what I'm looking for, aren't you? That's what I'm working for. That's why that I'm excited to be with you this morning. Because I've got a fire and a passion in my heart for a man that loved me more than anybody else. He proved his love for me by laying his life down on a cross, extending his arms freely. No one took his life. Freely he gave it for you and for me. Now that's special today. John 15 and 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did for you and me. That's why I'm excited about serving him. That's why that it gets sweeter every day. I can remember sitting on the bed with my grandmother, who was a Christian for 73 years when she passed away. And a few years ago, I was privileged to preach her funeral. And as I stood there and I looked at the accolades of her life, I found out that she never owned a driver's license. Think about that. This little lady that weighed 110 pounds soaking wet never held a driver's license. Yet I looked up to her in a way that nobody else could. Why? Because she lived what she believed. She would set me down on her bed and she had this little pillow that had the 23rd Psalms written on it. And she would start with Psalm verse 1 in chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Isn't that beautiful? And as she quoted it, she would do it in a manner that she would say, make sure I don't miss a word. And each time, of course, she never did. But she knew more than the psalm. She knew the shepherd. How about you today? Do you know the good shepherd? If you found Luke 15, verse 11, it says, and he said, this is Jesus speaking, this is a parable. I've got the King James Version, I don't know what you have, but it'll be fairly close. A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, did you hear what I said there? When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. He had compassion on him. He ran and kissed him on the neck, and he hugged him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And his father said, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let's bow our head. Father God, as we come to you this morning, we just ask that you pour out a blessing upon us this morning. We pray right now, God, that our ears would be attentive and our hearts would be receptive to your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that this word today, that it would accomplish the purpose that it was sent here for. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I told him downstairs this morning that God wasn't surprised when Brother Doug had to work over. Now, Doug was surprised when he found out that he had to work late. He may have got a little upset about it. Got a little sideways, that's what we say out in the country. Is that all right? May have got a little upset about it, but you know, God wasn't a bit surprised, was he? And God tells us in his word, he says, be instant in season and out of season. Always be ready to give account of the hope that lies in you. In other words, always be ready, because you never know when the master's going to have need of you, amen? Maybe it's a Sunday morning service. Maybe it's a Monday evening. Bump into someone at Walmart. But guess what? God has a need of each and every one of you. Now this is an old familiar parable. It's known as the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. We've all probably read it many times. We've maybe all heard it preached many times. But hopefully something this morning we can get out of it. Now I want to go through this parable with you this morning. Essentially, there's three main characters. You got the young son, the older son, and the father. And I want to look at each one of them individually, if that's okay with you. I think that each one of us, at least one of these characters, if not more than one, will apply to our life in some way. Amen? So as we go through this this morning, feel free to say amen. Feel free to agree. Feel free to say, Brother Preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. Because that's what we're here about this morning, amen? Let's talk about the young son first. You know, I feel that 99% of the church can relate to this young son. If you read the parable and you take it at face value real quick, maybe you'll read through it and maybe you'll miss some of this. Maybe you've thought about all this before, but it's good. The Apostle Paul wrote to him one time and said, it's good that we stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. It's good to get back to something maybe that we've been taught and maybe something that we've not polished on for a little while. It's good to sharpen the saw, amen? This young son came to his father and he looked at him and he said, you know, Dad, I'd like everything that's mine. I'd like my half of everything. The father didn't ask any questions. The father just wrote the check, amen? You know, the younger son already had made up in his mind what he was going to do, didn't he? He said it at father's house, and he really didn't have a whole lot of responsibility. He had servants. He had people that took care of most everything. He was born into royalty. He wore the father's ring on his hand. He had that when he walked down the hall. Everybody knew who he was. He had that little bit better than you feeling about himself. Is that okay to say it that way this morning? And he come to the Father, and the Father gave him his portion of goods, and he had already purposed in his heart that when I get what's mine, I'm out of here. The grass is a little bit greener on the other side. I know what's better for me than Dad does. I know what's better for me than Mom does. I know what I want for me. Amen? That's the attitude that he had. He quickly left the house. Not many days hence, I believe the King James Bible said there. Not many days hence. He packed up everything that he was hit. Not many days hence, the Bible said, that he gathered up his belongings and he left Father's house. And he went out into the real world, didn't he, Brother Don? He went out into the real world. And guess what? When you're in Mom and Dad's house, you're protected a little bit. I learned that growing up. Sometimes the best school to learn from is a school of hard knocks. Sometimes there's no substitute for experience. You see, Dad understood every bit of that. Yet he wrote the check anyway. He didn't ask any questions. He knew what his young son was going to do. And he let him go do it anyway. And he gathered up his things and he went out into the world. And the Bible said he spent everything that he had. Now he might have had a good time. I'm going to put that in quotes, okay? He might have had a good time doing it. Is it uncool to do air quotes now? I'm old, man. I'm past 35. That's old, they said. He was out there in the real world with real problems, with no money, never worked a day in his life, never had a callus on his hand, didn't know what it was to provide for himself. Everything had been handed to him from day one. Amen? So the Bible said when he had spent all, when he had spent everything that he had, there rose a mighty famine in the land. Does everybody know what a famine is? It's hard times. They didn't get any rain. They were having a hard time making it. It was a hard time making ends meet. There wasn't always food in the refrigerator. There might have been enough food on the table for that meal, but there wasn't a whole lot of leftovers. And here he began to ask himself this question. How am I going to make it? You ever been there? I'm an engineer by trade, and I manage construction projects. I was talking to a superintendent of a project one time, and I said, what makes a good employee for you? What makes a good worker? What makes someone that's valuable to your company? And he gave me these words. He said, Matt, he said, I can tell the people who's been hungry. He said, the ones that know what it's like to not know where your next meal's coming from. He said, those people will give you a hard day's work. They'll give you a good day's work. This little boy had never known that. He had never known what it was like to not have that, I don't know what y'all like to eat. But I'm going to throw it out there like this. He never knew what it was like to not have that half gallon of chocolate ice cream in the refrigerator, that when he wanted it, he could go scoop him out a big scoop. He didn't understand that. But here he's found himself away from Dad's house, away from the protection that he's always known and always had. And he's out into the world and he don't have any money, he don't have any friends. So rather than go back to Dad's house, you ever heard of something called pride? The book says in the book of Proverbs that pride comes before fall. That's usually because their head's all up in the clouds and they trip over the crack in the sidewalk. Pride comes before fall. This little fellow was so prideful, he wouldn't go back to Dad's house at this time and say, Dad, I made a mistake. No, he went out and tried to get himself a job, and that's what he did. He got a job. Does anybody know what his job was? Feeding the swine. Now I'm going to give it to you in the country terms. Is that all right? He was slopping the hogs. I'm just an old country boy, and that's how I know it. My grandpa had hogs, and we slopped the hogs. That's what this little fella found himself doing. Now, if you don't understand the Jewish history a little bit, if you don't understand what it was to be a little Jewish boy in this day and time, you don't really understand the significance or how low on the totem pole he had got. You see, the pig was an unclean animal. They wasn't allowed to eat it. They wasn't allowed to even touch it. Yet this little Jewish boy had gotten so far away from Daddy's house that he had taken a job feeding the pigs. And one day he was out there feeding those pigs, and he looked down at the food in the hog lot, and he said, "Boy, I'd love to have some of that husk that pig's eating on." That's how hungry he was. And then he had a revelation, so to speak. He got a thought come in his mind. He said, "You know, in Dad's house, even the servants have got more than they can eat. They've got bread enough, your Bible said, and to spare." They had more than they wanted. They had more than they could eat. Yet here he was, royalty. His father owned the pigs. His father owned everything that he had grown up knowing about. And his servants took care of him. And the ones taking care of him, which is what he's doing now, had more than they could eat. That's hard, isn't it? I thank God that we serve a God today that will allow us to get to the place to make us realize and understand who He is. I'm glad that we serve a God like that. Brother Don, I've been blessed my whole life. You know, financially, I've never been to that place in my life. And I thank God for it every single day. I've been a Christian since I was 9 years old. Yeah, I maybe not have made the straightest path along the way if you would look back at the path I've walked. But I've always known that He was in control, and I've always given Him thanks for everything that's come my way in life. And I appreciate that from Him every single day. And I thank Him for it. But spiritually, I've been down there. Spiritually, I've been to that place where I wondered if God could even hear me cry out. If you're here today and you've got yourself out of God's will for your life, if you've walked away a little bit from the plan, don't think you're alone. We've been there. Go home and read the book of Jonah. You want to talk about somebody that's been as low as you can get? You know, when you turn away from God's plan for your life, there's never an upward step. You ever read what happened to Jonah? Jonah, the Bible said, the word came to him, Don, and said, "Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it." He gave him one commandment, didn't he? He gave him one thing to do. Jonah was a little bit stubborn. Oh, don't act like you don't know what stubbornness is. We're all stubborn, aren't we? Some ways. My wife would say I'm stubborn. She's not here. I'll talk about her a little bit. The hard-headedest fellow I ever met, his name's John Smith. He's not here either. It's a good time to talk about him, amen. Stubbornness. Jonah said, "I'm not going to do it." So the Bible says, look what he did. He went down to Joppa. He already started that downward path as soon as he turned away from God, didn't he? When he got down to Tarsus, you know what he did down there? He boarded a boat. But before they'd let him on, guess what he had to do? He had to get his wallet out. It costs something when you go away from God's will in your life. He had to pay the fare to get on the boat. When he got on the boat and what belongings that he had with him, they tied him down. The Bible says that he went down into the bottom of the ship. You see the trend, don't you? When they got out onto the water a little bit, the big storm came, didn't it? Now I want to tell you, when you get in that spiritual place in your life, that spiritual storm comes, it doesn't matter how many friends you got. It don't matter how well they know the path. Until you come to your senses, the storm's not going to stop. The mariners, the Bible said, rowed hard. They tried to save the ship, didn't they? They couldn't control the ship. It was out of control. Guess what they did? They took up all their belongings. It's still costing Jonah, isn't it? Everything that he brought with him, they took it and threw it overboard. He lost everything that he had. The storm kept raging on. Finally, after a long process of, is it you, is it you, is it me, no, it's you, over here, all that, they cast lots, the Bible said. When the lot fell upon Jonah, he began to tell him his story. He began to tell him why that he ran away from God. And he told him, he said, just go ahead and throw me overboard. Now I'm going to tell you how far Jonah went with God, or how far Jonah went away from God. He come to the place that he thought he had lost his life. That's where he come to, didn't he? I want to tell you that when they picked Jonah up and they tossed him into the ocean, he thought there was no way ever that his feet would ever touch the dry sands of the shoreline. But God had a plan, didn't he? Sometimes you may not walk the straightest path, but don't think God can't use you. Sometimes it's those people that turn and run hard away from God, that once they have come back to the place that they realize where they're supposed to be, that's the very people that God can really use to further His kingdom in this world. You know about the fish, don't you? I'm glad God makes preparation for you and I. God had prepared a great fish, the Bible said, to swallow up Jonah. And it did. Now look what happened. The Bible said that fish swam down with him. Boy, he's still going down, isn't he? Until we come to that place in our life that we look at ourselves and say, I'm tired of feeding the pigs. Until we come to that place in our life that we say, I'm tired of sitting in the belly of this fish. Oh, preacher, you telling me a fish is going to swallow me up? I doubt it. But I want to tell you that the problems of this world, they'll totally consume you if you don't let God lead your path. If you don't let God direct where you're going. It's that simple today. The Bible said, take up your cross and follow me. It says that Spirit that lives within you and I will lead us and guide us in all truth and righteousness. The problem sometimes is we don't listen to Him, amen? If you read the third chapter of the book of Jonah, you'll hear Jonah say, from the belly of hell cried I. From the bottom of the ocean, in the belly of a fish, God heard Jonah cry out. You think you're too far away from God for Him to hear your cry? He heard Jonah from the depths of the sea, from the belly of a fish. When that fish spit Jonah out, he went and did God's will, didn't he? That prodigal found himself in the pig lot. That's where it first came to him that Dad has got everything that I need and more. Why did I ever leave? So he began to devise this plan to get back in the good graces of the Father. Understand what I said there. He began to devise a plan. Sometimes we try to solve our own problems. I'm going to tell you what happens when we try to solve our problems. We make a bigger problem. We make a bigger mess out of things. Look what he said. He said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it, didn't he? I'm going to go back to Father's house. And I'm going to put the saddest look on my face I can get. If I can find a water hole somewhere, when I get close, I'll dab a little bit of water like I've been crying a little bit. And I'll go up and I'll ring the doorbell and I'll say, Dad, I've sinned against heaven and you. I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. Make me one of the servants. Make me one of your servants, Father. So here he comes down the road. He's rehearsed that scenario over and over in his mind. He's going to walk up to the door and he's going to ring the doorbell and he's going to be ready when Dad gets there. Dad saw it a little differently, didn't he? Dad saw him before he ever got to the door. Dad ran out and put his arms around his neck. began to love on him, show him compassion, something he hadn't seen since the day he left. Well, there's peace in God's house, isn't there? The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's freedom here. There's a feeling that you can't find in any bar room, anywhere, right here in God's house. There's a feeling that you can't find anywhere else in this world, in the house of God. You and I are created beings. You and I are created by the supreme architect of the universe. You and I are made in His likeness, in His image. When He formed Adam from the dust of the ground, He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and a transfer from God to mankind took place, and there's a peace in you that only God can satisfy. Until you get that in your life, you'll never find peace and contentment. You'll never know true love and compassion. So here he is, laying his story out to the Father. We know the story, don't we? Well, the Father wasn't having any of it. Any little bit of it, was he? You ain't going to be my servant. You're my son. There's something different about you and I today. We're different than the beasts of the field. We're different than the fowls of the air. We're different than the fish of the sea. We're created in the likeness and image of God. We're not only heirs of God, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If we've been bought with the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary, we've got the same rights as He has today. Born into the family of God. If you're here today and you've never experienced that saving move of God in your life, He's here with arms extended today, saying, "Come to me." We'll get to the Father in a little bit. Let's go on. Let's go on to the older son. Boy, he looked good, didn't he? Boy, he looked good. He made all A's in school. He never had a hair out of place when you saw him. He was always dressed nice. He represented the family well at the family dinners. He looked good. When the father was out in the field, he was out in the field. He was doing the work, it seemed, of the father. But you know what? He was only superficial. He only looked good on the outside. There was something missing on the inside of the older son. I'm going to tell you what the older son did. Can I give it to you in my words? Is that okay? You know, when his little brother left, he said in himself,
"Good riddance."
Huh? What'd I say? He said, "Good riddance."
That didn't work out.
So I went for the dramatic effect there. And he just didn't do it. That's what happens when you give a country boy a tour like this, amen. He said, "Good riddance to him. I'm glad he's gone." You know, before he came along, man, I was the big cheese around here. I got all the attention. I got all the love. I got all of mommy and daddy's things. Now I had to share it with him. I'm glad he's gone. He laid in bed at night, dreading that his little brother would ever come back. That's what he was on the inside. That's who he really was. He looked good on the outside. Well, I bet it was hard when they were out to town and somebody come up to the father and said, "Praying for you, son. I know you ain't got a text from him in a while. I know you've not heard from him for a while. I'm praying for him." Well, I bet it was hard for the older son to put a smile on his face. Then one day, he began to hear something coming from the house. He was out in the field doing what his father wanted him to do, he thought. Well, I believe he knew what had happened. I believe that's why he wouldn't go inside. I believe as every step he took toward the house, I think he got a little bit more angry. He got to the point that one of the servants was there and he said, "What's going on?" He began to explain to him what had taken place. "Your young brother has come home. Your father has killed the fatted calf. They're having a big party for him up there right now." You could see it on his face. His face was redder than Doug's was when he had to find out he had to work. He was very angry. To the point he wouldn't even go in the house. He wouldn't even acknowledge that his little brother had come home. There wasn't any love and compassion. There wasn't any putting his arms around his neck. There wasn't any, "How you been? Where you doing? I've been praying for you. I'm glad you're home." It was, "You tell Dad to come out here to me." He had an attitude that he was entitled to something because, now here's the key to it, okay? He had an attitude that he was entitled to something because of what he had done for the Father. There's where we get messed up sometimes. This society that we live in, they tell you the harder you work, the more you're supposed to get. Somebody say amen right there. That's a good place to say amen. We're trained from when we're little. That's how you do things, right? But God's ways are a little bit different, aren't they? Your Bible says in 2 and 8 of Ephesians, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of works, lest any man should boast, and not of yourself." Think about that. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, and not of works." That's almost the opposite of what we've been taught all of our life. You see, it wasn't about what he had done, but it's about the condition of his heart. You see, it's about what the Father's done, not about what we've done. Somebody say amen right there. That's a good place. It's not about us. You see, the older brother, the older son, he wanted to make it about him, didn't he? Look what he said to his dad. He said, "Dad, all these years I've been with you. I haven't transgressed your law at any point. And you've never had a party for me, Dad." He didn't say those exact words. He said, "You've never killed the fatty calf for me that I might make merry with my friends. Dad, you've never had a party for me." He said, "Son, you never ask." Well, glory. "You never ask." He said, "Everything I've got's yours. Look around you. All that I have is thine. Everything that I've got's yours. All you had to do was ask." Well, glory. Your father today, my father. The Bible tries to describe the vastness of God sometimes. Words can't do it justice. The smartest man that ever lived's name was Solomon. He built a temple to God. And during his prayer to dedicate this temple, he said, "God, we've built this house for you to dwell in." He said, "But the heavens of the heavens cannot contain you." Think about that. Solomon couldn't even find words to describe the vastness of God. Our Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't know how many cattle that is, but you can't count that high. Everything that you and I look around and see, the earth is just his footstool. And I'm amazed by it every day. Your Bible says that nature itself teaches us that there's a God. You look around at the creation and the things that God has wrought just by the voice from his mouth. Go home and read it there in the book of Genesis. Your Bible said, and God said, "Let there be light." And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the sea." And God said this and that. And it happened just by his voice. Now you and I is different. That's another message. I better not get off on that. The brother told me earlier, he said, "We got lunch downstairs. Don't go long." Amen. He told the wrong guy that. Amen. This older son tried to make it about him. And when we try to make it about ourselves, we miss what it's about, because it's not about us. It's about him. Now, big brother, he would have been willing to do this. Listen to me today. He would have been willing to let his younger brother come back and be a servant, but not a son. Think about it. You know, the Bible speaks a lot about love and compassion. The Bible says if you see a brother in need and you shut up the bowels of compassion against him, how dwelleth the love of God in you? Jesus said, you ought to love your neighbor as yourself. As a matter of fact, he said, and love God with all your heart. And he said, on these two things, he said, you can hang all the law and the prophets. Everything I teach, in other words, is about love. God is love today. Amen? The older brother didn't demonstrate that very well at all, if any at all. Let us never find ourselves like the older brother, amen? Now, let's look at the father. I'm glad they don't have a clock in here, amen? I'll get you out of here before Walmart closes. Is that all right? That'll work, won't it? Now, let's look at the father. Boy, there's something special about the father. We find him, and I always preface this part of this message by saying this. I like the father more for what he didn't say than for what he did. And we'll get to that, okay? But here, when we first find the father, we find him speaking with the younger son, and the younger son saying, Dad, give me what's mine. He didn't ask any questions. He didn't say, what you going to do with it? He just wrote the check, didn't he? Now, I'm going to tell you how this would have happened where I'm from. I'm from a little town in southern West Virginia in Wayne County called Crum, West Virginia. That's where I grew up at. Now, I'm going to tell you how this would have happened in Crum, West Virginia. Is that all right? I can't speak about Buffalo or where I live now or Hurricane because I didn't grow up here. But I'm going to tell you how it would have happened where I grew up. Son, what are you going to do with that money? Is that okay? I worked my whole life to build up all this stuff around here. You think I'm just going to write you a check and let you have so you take it and waste it somewhere? I ain't going to do it. And then, if I would have talked Dad into giving it to me, there would have been some conditions. I did them air quotes again. That makes me uncool. There would have been some conditions. If I give this to you, you can only do this with it. Or you can only do that with it. And after you take and you double it, then you bring my part back. Is that okay? That's how that conversation would have been where I grew up. But this father never asked the first question. And I said earlier, I believe he knew exactly what his young son would do with it. I believe he knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew he was going to take it and waste it with riotous living. We get a little bit of clarification later on when the older brother's talking, don't we? He told his father, said he wasted it on harlots. He wasted it on women of the night. He wasted it on parties and all those kind of things that we kind of look down on. That's the kind of lifestyle he lived for a while until the money ran out. Dad knew what was going to take place, didn't he? Yet he didn't say anything. Now let's fast forward a little bit. We know what happened. We know what happened to the young son. Here he is. He's coming back. He don't have shoes on his feet. He's got holes in what clothes he's got left. He's got his head hung down. He's got a sad story to tell Dad. And I'm going to tell you what would have happened in Crum, West Virginia. I told you so. You can't make it without me, son. I tried to tell you, you wasn't ready, you wouldn't listen. Dad never one time, not one time did he look at him and say anything negative about what he had done. He didn't ask where he had been. He didn't ask how he got in the shape that he got. He didn't ask what happened to his money. He looked at him and he said, son, I'm glad you're home. Then he looked over to his servant and he said, go to my closet. He said, don't get the robe that's got a hole in it. He said, get the best robe I've got. You see what I'm saying about Dad? He said, hang it around these shoulders. He said, don't just do that. He said, go to my jewelry box. He said, you get the ring out. There's something very significant about the ring. And you put it on his finger. You see, that said, that's my son. That's what the ring meant. He's not a servant. He's one of mine. And you treat him as such when he walks around the house. When you pass him in the hall, you know that's my son. When you see him out in the field, that's my son. When you see him at the dinner table, you make sure that he sits in the seat right on the right side of me that says, this is my son. There was no judgmental tone. There was no looking down his nose at his son. There was no awkward questions. There was, son, I love you. You're one of mine. Yes, Dad, he knew where the son had been, and it didn't matter. He was still his son. You can say amen right there. It's a good place. That's a good place. You see, God loves us the same way today. God loves you and I that same way today. You see, all the time that the young son was gone, there was something the father was doing. I've heard them old preachers preach. He was sitting on that rocking chair on that porch. He was watching for his young son to come up that road. You see, just as he crested the horizon, Dad saw him coming. And he ran and he met him. But there was something else that was taking place. I'm going to tell you something. That calf didn't get fat standing in the barn. Old country boy. It takes a little bit of grain. It takes some hay. It takes some good water. It takes a lot of work to fatten up a calf. I want you to know the whole time from the day that young son left, every single day, Dad had somebody going to the barn feeding the calf. Dad had somebody going to the barn watering the calf. Dad had somebody making sure that the calf didn't have some type of disease and making sure that when his son came back. You see, he made the preparations for the party before he ever walked up on the lawn. Dad full well expected his son to come back home. Oh, thanks be to God today. I don't know about you, but that puts chill bumps on my arms. Why? Because I know that he's speaking to us as terms of our godly Father and how that he loves us. I know what he's doing right now, Don. He's making intercessions for you and I. He's preparing a place for us over on the other side. Your Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for those that love and serve him. The beauty that this world has is beautiful. Have you ever been to Niagara Falls? Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? Have you been and seen some of the wonders that God has created? Just imagine what heaven's going to be like with me for a minute. You see, Dad's making preparations for the party right now. You see, a father knows how to throw a party, amen. There's another parable there that talks about a shepherd having 100 sheep. That he says, what shepherd has 100 sheep? If one of them leaves the fold, does he not go looking for that one? And when he finds it, Don, he puts it up on his shoulders. He don't get a stick and beat it. He don't kick it all the way back to the flock. But he loves it. He cherishes it. And he takes it down through the town and he says, look, this lamb I thought was gone, I found. You know, we've got a God today that loves us. We may not make the Charleston Gazette. It may not make the Daily Mail. It may not even make the Herald Dispatch in Huntington. But it'll make news in heaven if you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Sissy, our Bible says there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents than 99 just persons that does not need to repent. That one sinner, that one lost son, the one that has hit the bottom, the one that's feeding the pigs, the one that don't have a pair of shoes to put on, the one that's wasted everything that was given to him, the one that threw it away on righteous living with harlots. There's more rejoicing in heaven for that one that comes back. That's precious today. That's the kind of God I want to serve. That's the kind of God that I want directing my path. That's the kind of God that I want looking out for me for tomorrow. That's the kind of God I want to spend eternity with. Let me tell you something about the Father. The Father knew this. The Father knew this. And I always say this part for this time. The Father knew this, that young sons become fathers. Did you hear me? Young sons become fathers. God will let you and I maybe get a little bit out of line so we know what it feels like. That when we get back to Father's house, we're going to work that much harder. We're going to do that much more for Him. Because that He loved us before we ever loved Him. Because He loves me in spite of me. The nasty, filthy wretch that I am, He loves. Before you were ever born, God made preparations for you. Do you know that the Bible teaches us about a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world? About how that He was going to make preparation, and He did on Calvary's cross. Before you were ever born, God made a way that you can be saved. I want to tell you today, do you see yourself in the young son? Do you see yourself in the older son? Do you see yourself in the father? That young rebellious son, when he came back to Father's house, the Bible don't say what happened, but I have to believe that he walked a different path from that day forward. I want to tell you this about the older son. Do you know that he wasted his portion of the father's living more than the younger guy did? What do you mean, preacher? He didn't spend anything. Exactly. He didn't share one thing with anybody that the Father gave him. Why? Because he made it all about himself. It's all mine. I ain't going to give nothing away. Now, I'm not just talking about financial. I'm talking about the love that the Father showed him. He showed it to no one. Not even to his own brother. That's not what God wants us to do today. God wants us to be like the Father. God wants us to show love and compassion. Not only to those that show love and compassion to us, but to those who don't. He still wants us to love them. He still wants us to show His love to this world. We are the prism that God uses to shine His light into this world today. Without God, without us letting God use our lives, it's impossible for His Word and His love and His light to go into this world. You are that city, God said. Sit up on a hill that shines a light out that when the world sees it, they know who you are. They know what it's there for. Amen? Church took a couple pretty good whippings here in the United States for the past few years. But that's okay. It's not about the United States, is it? It's about Him. His purpose is going to be accomplished. His purpose will be accomplished. His word will not go out void. One day after a while, we'll go home to be with Him forever. Until then, tarry till He comes. Amen. Brother Don.